Hello and welcome to The Blurs, the Black Nerds with the Word. This is the podcast where it's blurs discuss comics, manga, anime, movies, and much more happening in pop culture. This is one of your hosts, Marcus Andre. With me, I have...
This is Justin, coming down from, Killer Calvert County. You already know what we do down here. And we on episode 20 now. Shoot, man, this has been a great ride so far. Wish we had Drew to celebrate our 20th episode, but hey, he'll be here next one.
All right, big homie Kenny, we out here, Murder Moko. Big homie True can make it today, but he's still holding down the double D, the Dirty Dwarf. But he'll be back next week. Full squad be at full effect. This is episode of Blurtober, so hope y'all have enjoyed the time we have. We've just been recording it, spooky specials. Pass it back to my host, Marcus.
Yeah, Drew is out this week. Couldn't be here, but out there securing himself another Emmy. So let's go into news. I don't have any news this week.
Same.
Y'all niggas got news?
Yeah. The thing I saw was like the Miles Morales skin was like released or something on the game, on the Spider-Man game, and also in Mortal Kombat. They released a new expansion pack as far as they included Melina, Rambo, and Rain. But I'm like, yeah, that's all right.
I do have news, actually. So, The Mandalorian, Star Wars Mandalorian, the second season, a new chapter just began.
Yeah.
And I feel like this season about to be really hyped. The last one they left off with, like, some heat. Yes, no, for real. Like, some stuff was, like, some business was not finished. So, I'm really hyped for this season, for real.
All right, so let's go into books. I only have one book this episode, and that is Three Jokers number 3, written by G.F. Johns. The artist is Jason Fabok. That's who it is. Jason Fabok. So this is the conclusion to Three Jokers, and this issue really showed me why this whole event was important. It really landed. It made a good landing to me. And I wouldn't be mad if this story was incorporated into Batman canon, despite the revelations we get at the end that might change how we view Joker forever, but still maintains his ambiguity, his mystery. So in this issue, we get the final showdown between Batman, Jason Todd, Batgirl, and the Jokers. Jason killed the clown Joker in the first issue, and now it is just the criminal Joker and the comedian Joker. And they're trying to convert Joe Chill, the person who killed Batman's parents, into the final Joker. And the next Joker. The criminal Joker wants to turn Joe Chill into a Joker because he's like, it's the perfect recipe. It's the guy that actually made Bruce Wayne into Batman. So he would be the perfect Joker for him to face that pain every time he saw the Joker. And so they meet up at Monarch Theater, the theater where Bruce's parents died, and they have Joe Chill tied up, and they're about to drop him in the acid and stuff like that. Batman and Jason and Barbara come and save the day, and something happens to the Joker. Did he choke or something? The criminal Joker. There was something that happened.
The what's name shot him? Median shot him.
I know he shot him, but before that, there was
like,
some
mishap. He was having a
fell or something like that.
He was having a convulsion or whatever, because they never explained the identity of the criminal or the clown, but like what's name, we know that the criminal is like the oldest one of them and everything, and he has like health issues, because I remember when they had Jason tied up, he was laughing, he said it hurts to laugh, because like he has like a condition because of that. Yeah,
he kind of fell out of nowhere, so
like he might have had a heart attack or some shit like that. But then after that, mean and shot him, but yeah.
And we also discovered that Joe Chill has always regretted killing Bruce Wayne's parents. There's been these letters he's been writing, but never able to finish, trying to tell Bruce how sorry he is and why he killed his parents, which was because he was just jealous of them. But after he did the deed, he found out how good the Waynes really were and how much they were giving back to the city. So that was cool. And so after Batman stops the Joker, the comedian Joker shoots the criminal Joker. And we're like, what the fuck, you know, what's going on? But it's not really that surprising because it's the Joker. And so at the end of the issue, we see that Batman is making kind of being there for Joe Chill in his dying days. He has forgiven Joe Chill entirely, and I think this is important to the Batman mythos. This has been one of the books where I've seen Batman grow the most. Like, he's there with his parents' killer, the whole reason why we have a Batman. And he's there on his deathbed. You know, he's made a friend out of this man, it seems. And the other revelation is the story that we saw in The Killing Joke in regards to the Joker's past is true in this book. So the Joker was a comedian. Well, the comedian Joker was a comedian. And we found out that his wife, his pregnant wife and child didn't die because of a bottle warmer or something like that. The Joker was abusive to his wife. And so the police came up with this kind of scheme and put her in witness protection to get her away from the Joker. So they faked like she actually died. And at the end, we see Batman going to Alaska and seeing the Joker's family, you know, just being happy and stuff like that. And so we know that Batman knows who the Joker is, but he will never unveil that information because then it will put his distant family at risk. What'd you think about it, Kenny? I thought it was great.
It was a good ending and like a lot of revelations and everything as far as that. I mean, like the part of the beginning when they're all on the side of the like the Batcave and everything, and they're doing a little argument and everything. It's like, hey man, I killed him. Something you shouldn't have been able to do. And after that, he was like, you never understood Jason. And after that, they argue back and forth. And after the dynamic is definitely still damaged. Everybody still has their scars and everything, but it's a good ending as far as like, okay, we figure out who the Joker is. Not that you see like the fact that like he always wanted to be the original one and everything. And yeah, I mean, I can see this being a part of the mythos. I wish this was the event we had instead of Joker War, but yeah.
Yeah, I have to give GF Johns props for still maintaining that mystery, because at the end of this, we still don't know who was the original Joker. Yeah. Because the Joker says the criminal could have created me, or I could have created him. Yeah, so that was dope. He really stuck this landing. I give the whole thing like an 8 out of 10. Yeah. The second chapter was kind of sloppy, but it stuck the landing for sure.
Yeah.
So has anyone else read anything?
I actually did pick up Bleach today after a while. I'm just trying to like make sure I fully prepare myself before like it's the anime comes out. So basically last time where I left off was like the head captain had
Yamamoto
just, like,
or whatever. I forget his
Yamamoto,
name.
Yamamoto, that's his name. It's been a minute, man.
Yeah.
Yamamoto had just like used his own Zanpakuto, which is his sword. For the people who don't read Bleach, they call their swords Zanpakutos. So, anyways, his Zanpakuto can control like fire and heat and everything, and it is like pretty much infinite. And what this man did was like literally like bring like the enemy's like former friends, generals, like anyone he ever knew and loved, his master, back from the dead, but they were like zombies, like in ash form and everything, and they attacked him. And after that, when I came back and read it this time, what I had saw was like he finished off the enemy, but that really wasn't even the case. And then they gave this interesting backstory about there was twins, and I think the enemy actually had a twin or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kenny. And so he comes back, he uses his own like pretty much technique against him.
Yeah.
And he pretty much takes out the head captain.
Yep.
And after that is just like a big mourn fest. Pretty much all of the court guard squad, the captains were taken out. They were like, not all of them died, but they were just like badly like taken out. Like Byakuya Kuchiki, like, and the person he faced, it was like crazy. It was like he was trapped in an illusion, almost like the Tsukuyomi for a second. And like it was like spiders on his body. And for the first time, like this is like a really like firm character. Like you barely even see him smile. And this was the first time I ever saw him actually get scared. And I was like, hold on a minute now. Like, what's up with these guys, man? So everybody's like in like critical condition. Even like the one captain who's a healer is just like she's in shambles and she usually never breaks. So Ichigo, who's the main character, he's like he comes forth and he confronts the enemy and everything. And then like the guy is just like, you just don't know. Like you don't even know like yourself, your heritage and everything. So basically what we're hearing is just like this guy knows everything about Ichigo, his true identity. Mm-hmm. And Ichigo is like looking like, hold on, what's going on here? So they actually, the enemy actually disperse. They're gone. And they're all Quincy's. They're all Quincy's. So they disperse. And now Ichigo goes into contact with the X Division. So right now he's talking to them. And I think they're going to give him like special training and everything. So
get his new sword.
So I'm pretty hyped for that.
Quincy stuff, as far as that, the reason why they can just give all these dudes to work like that is because, unfortunately, Zanpakutos won't work against them because they can literally give your Zanpakuto, like they can take it away and then use it against you. But yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, they can because that's what happened to Yamamoto, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why all of the captains, they were shook. But there's a lot of the stuff that's coming through. I talked about this a little earlier, but
yeah,
brace yourself for the ending. I reserve my what's the name my stuff because my feelings about the ending is mid, it's sad, but yeah.
All right, bad.
But as far as me, X of Swords, it's moving along good. We're at X of Swords Stasis, so basically we have all of our challengers from the X-Men side going to Otherworld to meet their competitors and meeting the old of this tournament, Saturn. So on our side, we have Apocalypse, Wolverine, Psylocke, her brother, which is the ex, what's name, is the ex Captain Britain, but she's Captain Britain now because that's Excalibur or whatever. Cypher, Magic, Cable, Storm, and Gorgon. We're missing one more person, but like they're gonna reveal that later. So like they all went over there. They're meeting their people. They got tarot cards from the tournament holder or whatever, Saturn. And at that, there's just a bunch of stuff that's about to start popping off now because the storyline ends, like I saw it, is going to end at the end of next month. So just stay tuned for all X-Men-related stuff. Like we said before, for all Hickman stuff, you have to follow piece by piece by piece. So next month we have X-Men, Hellions, Excalibur, Marauders, all the lines and everything before we have X-Sword Destruction, which happens at the end of next month. But yeah.
Okay, let's move on to TV and movies.
So what y'all watching?
I ain't been watching shit.
Me neither.
What about you, Jess?
I ain't really watching nothing for real. Nah. I don't even think I watched.
Working ass niggas.
Man, I got work, school, everything right now, man.
I mean, I just been working, studying for the cert. That's it.
Yeah. So,
all right, so let's move on to Blackest Night. Blackest Night is probably the most significant Green Lantern event ever. Definitely one of the most significant DC events. It was written by Geoff Johns and penciled by Ivan Reis and inked by Auclair Albert. It is an 8-issue series, and it comes on the tail of Flash Rebirth, and it's a couple issues after the Sinestro Corps War, like a whole arc after two arcs after the Sinestro Corps War. In this story, basically what happens is Hal Jordan and Flash are reminiscing. Flash just came back to life in Flash Rebirth, and this is Barry Allen Flash. And Bruce Wayne just died in Final Crisis. And they're at his gravestone, you know, reminiscing about Bruce and everything like that. Bruce and Hal didn't have the best of relationship, but Hal is still very sad that his friend has, you know, died. Meanwhile, Black Hand is going around and he's preparing the arrival of the Black Lanterns and to eventually summon Necron. So when they leave Bruce's tombstone, Necron comes and takes Bruce's skull, but it's not really Bruce. I think it's like a clone of Bruce or something like that, because Bruce is actually stuck in time.
Yeah.
They don't tell you this in the book, though. So we get into the actual story, and the Black Lanterns are descending on, like, the world. You just see these Black Lantern rings come in out of nowhere, and they are connecting themselves to people who are dead, you know. But we see the superheroes' perspective. So we see Aquaman come back to life. We see Martian Manhunter come back to life. We see a couple of heroes die, like Hawkman and Hawkgirl, and they get turned into Black Lantern zombies. And Plastic Man and his wife, Sue Digby, they come back as Black Lantern zombies. So all these Black Lantern zombies are coming out of nowhere, and Flash and Green Lantern are trying to figure out how to solve the issue, like, where are they coming from? And so we discover that Black Hand is working with Necron, who's like the avatar of, like, the darkness of the world. And what they're planning to do is just kill everything. They want existence to die out. You know, before the Big Bang, there was nothing, and that's what they want, nothing. So Hal actually gets recruited by the Indigo Tribe. The Indigo Tribe is, like, another
emotional spectrum.
Lantern core.
Yeah.
And they focus on compassion. So they take Hal and they take him to recruit all the other core leaders. So Sinestro Corps, which is the Yellow Lanterns, Atrocitus, which is the Red Lanterns, yellow's for fear, red is for hate. We got the
Carol Ferris for pink and love, Larfleas for orange and greed.
They're violet, but where are they called again? What, the star sapphires?
Star sapphires is for pink for love, and that you have the blue lanterns, which is for hope. Which is, I forgot that guy's name, but yeah,
Walker or something.
Yeah, Walker.
Yeah, and we got Larfleas, the orange lantern, for avarice,
yeah,
for greed. So there's this, the superhero community is fighting everywhere, and their past enemies and past friends are showing up trying to kill them and take their hearts and turn them into Black Lantern Zombies, and everything coalesces in Coast City. And I think it coalesced there because that is where Cyborg Superman and what's the other dude's name? Cyborg Superman and
Parallax?
The alien guy. Mongol.
Mongol, okay. Yeah.
Mongol.
Yeah. They killed all those people.
Yeah, they basically wiped the whole city out. And that's what turned Hal Jordan into Parallax. But we'll get into that later. Yeah. So they coalesce there. Coast City is now being re-inhabited by people, but still a large symbol for death, because essentially like a Holocaust happened there. So all the heroes coalesce there, fight Black Hand, and Necron comes, and the Black Lanterns, Necron and Black Hand, they have the Guardians of the Universe, because one of them was actually infected with the Black Lantern stuff, I think in the Sinestro Corps War. So yep. She was like a traitor, and that's how they got the Guardians in their grasp. So they got them tied up. Ganthet and Saeed, they're excommunicated Guardians of the Galaxy. No, not Galaxy, Guardians of the Universe. So
Guardians.
And they created the Blue Lanterns, and they're there helping the heroes out too. And so eventually Black Hand uses Bruce Wayne's skull to reincarnate Bruce Wayne into a Black Lantern, and it causes like an emotional emotional response in his best friends, you know, people in the Justice League. Yep. And much of the Justice League has been resurrected. These are people who have died before. So I think they're even more susceptible to the Black Lanterns than other people. So this Bruce Black Lantern coughs up some Black Lantern rings and gets on Superman, Wonder Woman, I think Donna Troy, I'm not sure. I know she got bitten by a zombie.
She got
a Black Lantern zombie.
But basically, those two, Bart Allen, what's the name of the little kid? Like, what's the name? He was Impulse in Young Justice. But yeah, he got.
Yeah, he got one. Who else got one? I think those. Oh, and Green Arrow. He got.
Yeah, one. Green Arrow. Then they tried to go after Hal and Flash and everything, but Hal and Flash. Since Barry time traveled, cut the connection link and everything, then the white.
So those rings didn't get them. That's yeah. The only reason why Hal and Barry didn't turn into them. Yeah. So, meanwhile, all the Black Lanterns in the universe are coalescing
to Earth.
On Earth, they're coming to Earth, and the cores. All the cores of the color spectrum are told to work together, even though they hate each other, to end, you know, this campaign led by the Black Lanterns to take over everything. So they all come to Earth and stuff like that, and Ganthet reveals that the Guardians of the Universe have been lying, that the Owens, which is the species the Guardians of the Galaxy come from, they've been lying, saying that life started on Oa, and yeah. It didn't. It started on Earth, and that's why Necron and Black Hand are there. They want to stop life where it began. And so they cut open one of the Guardians and pull out his spleen and built like this summoning circle, and they summoned the entity. And the entity is basically the kind of like the creature that represents life. Yep. He's like the white
White Lantern entity, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they all try to stop Necron by shooting lasers at him or whatever from their rings, but Sinestro, when they unleash the White Lantern, he was like, oh, I'm going to become the host of the entity. So he absorbs the entity and becomes like the first White Lantern, or the first White Lantern we've seen. And his shit still gets rocked. Yeah. So after that, when the entity is taken out of Sinestro by Necron, Hal comes up with this great idea for everybody to become White Lanterns, or at least the people that have been resurrected before. And I just noticed that when I read that this time, it was only the heroes that got resurrected. So it's him, Barry, Superman, Wonder Woman. Bart, and Green Arrow. And they finally stop Necron by bringing Black Hand back to life, because Black Hand is like
he's the tether.
He's the tether for Necron to.
Also, they brought the Anti-Monitor as well.
Yeah, they brought the Anti-Monitor back. How did they get rid of the Anti-Monitor again?
So like they thought they'd like destroyed them, whatever, but turns out like Necron was using them, like, since, like, as far as the Anti-Monitor, he's one of the, before the whole stuff we have going on now, he was like the.
Yeah, they used the husk to build like the Black Lantern.
Yeah. So that was before then.
But how did they send him back? Like, after he came back, I forgot. Like, how did they?
I think that they opened like a little portal or something like that. Cause I remember Necron, like after he came back to Murph, Necron teleported somewhere else because he wasn't trying to have him there or whatever. And then after that, they attacked Necron one more time, and then he was dissipated. And because of Necron was dissipated, everybody that he brought back, as far as villains, friends, all of the above, if they're alive and everything, because they were, because of the Black Lantern Corps, they were reincarnated into being normal human beings again, well, for the time being, but yeah.
So, yeah, the heroes save the day, and the entity actually brings a couple of heroes and villains back to life. And it was Martian Manhunter, Deadman, which is ironic, Aquaman was wild in this joint. Maxwell Lord, Boomerang, Captain Boomerang, yeah. Firestorm, Ronnie half of I already said Deadman. And Hawkman and Hawkgirl, and this character I'm not familiar with. I think he's like Black Adam's son or something like that.
Yeah.
We come out of 52.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, he brought them all back, and that's really the end. Black Hand is taken by the Indigo Tribe and turned into one of them, and the White Lantern is still on Earth, just, you know, chilling. So that's basically the story. So now we'll get into questions. And my first question is, how'd y'all feel about it? And so I'm interested in Jess's answer, because me and Kenny have both read it before, and I think we both agree that it's dope. But I want to see how Jess felt about it.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked the creativity of it, honestly. Like, just the fact that this man reached into the dirt and pulled Bruce Wayne's skull out of the, I don't know, I was like, wait, hold on a minute, what? Like, the story is tough for real. I like it.
All right, what about you, Kenny?
Love this story. Like, it's one of the, like, top three, Green Lantern stories, because, I mean, I didn't, as far as comics, I got back into it, I'll say 2015 again, because like I remember watching Comic Storian on YouTube and everything, and after that, yeah, like I said, Comic Storian.
I love that guy.
You funny guy. Like, he was reviewing, like, he would do, as far as comic books, he would do a bunch of different things as far as good storyline. So he did a lot of Green Lantern stuff. So that's how I knew about the storyline. Then after then, I went there, read it myself. Like, as far as Blackest Night, Brightest, like both Brightest Day, because there's like a bunch of different versions. There's the one with Hal, there's the one with the people on Earth, there's the one with Kyle Redner, but that's beside the point. And like, it was a really dope storyline to see it, as far as like, you have all the people, you see people die. Like, as far as superheroes, death is never a permanent thing. Like, as far as your favorite character, they'll be dead for like probably a couple years, but they'll always be back over some eventually. But yeah, it was just dope storyline, start to finish, character designs, all that, and sets up for some great stuff that happens after next. But yeah.
I really like this event. I don't think it's as good as Sinestro Corps War. And on the second reading, I thought some of the dialogue was cheesy sometimes. But I love how G.F. Johns kind of formed this all together, and it lived up to the hype, because you always hear about the Blackest Night, and you heard about it since the beginning of his run. And I think it really did live up to the hype. You got to see different I forgot to say how the different heroes and villains, they got different colored rings at one point.
Yeah.
Ganthet was able to create replicas of everybody's rings. So Mira, Aquaman's wife, became a Red Lantern. Flash became a Blue Lantern. Wonder Woman became a Star Sapphire Violet Lantern. So that was just really dope. And I liked how they got everyone's characterizations right. It was just cool. So next question is, what did you guys think about the art? I'll go first for this one. I love Ivan Reis's art. I think I've seen it inked better in different places, but I think the art was pretty consistent throughout this whole thing, and I'm glad they had one artist on this whole thing.
I liked it a lot. There were some moments where I was just like, hold on a minute, this is some pretty top-notch like drawing, like especially when you see like the white lantern rings and everything. I was just like, oh, this is cold, you know. It was tough. So like Marcus really just said just now, they kept it really consistent. And when did this story actually come out again?
I think it was 2009.
2009.
That's started in 2008 and in 2009, but yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah, throughout the story, it was pretty consistent. I liked it a lot.
It's a 2009 to 2010 event. Huh. So, yeah.
What am I reading then? But now, as far as me, like the arts. Yeah, you're right. But no, the art was saying really good, like really dark and gritty at the parts when you're showing all the people coming back and everything. That you see the vibrantness whenever they had the white lanterns, and then you see as far as the emotional spectrum how much they put like the emphasis on each one. But yeah, great art. Love the story, but yeah.
What was like the biggest oh shit moment y'all had?
Won't lie, my moment had to be when he pulled Bruce Wayne's skull out of the ground. I really wasn't expecting that, and I was just like, "Hold on a minute, he really holding that man's skull in his hand right now." And even after that, everything just went like I swear, it just like started spiraling out of place. So that was my moment, honestly.
Mine had to be when Batman came back, as far as like when you see Batman climb up out the grave and you said, Batman, Bruce Wayne, rise. That he rises out the grave, coughs up a bunch of rings, and you see all the rings go to the people who are alive now, and that they become Black Lantern members. And it's like, yeah, we really SOL at the moment, big fella, because we have them, we're already losing with them on our side. Now they just joined the other team's side. But I mean, the other moment after that would have to be when Ganthet replicates the rings, and we have like the next, like we have Mara, Flash, Adam. Mara, Flash, Adam, Scarecrow, and Lex. Well, Lex Luthor thing they could have kept, because my thing is he ain't really contributing nothing except just getting in the way. But yeah.
Yeah, that was still funny to me though.
Yeah.
Like that man, when he was saying, when Wonder Woman had the lasso of truth around his neck, he was like, I just want to be Superman.
Yeah.
So I think my oh shit moments were when everything that was related to identity crisis. So just, you might not know this, but in identity crisis, the Adam's wife uses his technology to jump through the telephone to surprise Sue Dibny. And what was she trying to do? She was trying to like surprise her with fire or something like that.
Yeah, it's like they were like, he didn't know, but like, wasn't he still blaming himself for it? Because she left him, his ex-wife, she left him to go kill Plastic Man's wife. And well, he, is it Plastic Man or Elongated Man? I forget the name of it, but like,
Elongated Man.
It's Elongated Man.
He did it to get him back, though, to get his like attention back.
Yeah.
And I don't know what she was doing, but she did something with fire or something like that. And she surprised Sue. I think she was, I know. She was trying to hurt Sue so they could all come together. And she wasn't trying to kill Sue Dibny, Elongated Man's wife, but she was just trying to hurt her so that they could all come together again. But she ended up torching her whole body and killing her. So this starts a whole, like, a whole kind of thing in the superhero community where they're trying to see who within their ranks, whether it be villains or hero, knows like everybody's identity, because to find out who the killer is. And so when Elongated Man and Sue Dibny come back, I'm just like, oh shit. And they still have like the same, they're bringing up stuff from Identity Crisis, all that pain and stuff. And Adam is still has like these complicated feelings for his wife, his ex-wife, who is a murderer. And I just love the dialogue that just kept on bringing up DC's past crisis. That was cool. Next question is, what lantern would y'all want to be after reading this event? What lantern would y'all want to be if y'all could be a lantern?
I'd probably want to be regular Green Lantern, just to be the original one. You know, there were like a whole lot of different ones, but like I'd just go with the original one. That's just my taste, though.
Okay, I'm trying to give this answer without bias because I read ahead and everything as far as all the other stuff. As part of me really wants to say white, because after you know what white can do, white like white's the way to go.
Yeah,
but
I almost said white. I almost did.
But I mean, just to keep my bias aside, I'm gonna go with OG Green. I mean, heck, you got all the squad. You got Hal, Guy, John, Kyle. Net that you got two more other people in the future, which I really don't count, but that's beside the point. But yeah.
Okay, yeah, I would say, I think I would go with, part of me wants to go with, like, yellow. I think it's just cool. I don't know, fear and stuff like that.
Just use fear.
Because you basically, like, Batman Green Lantern. I mean, Batman Lantern, you know?
They had a comic line about that.
Yeah, so I think I might go with yellow. What do you think this story could have improved upon? I'll go ahead with this one. I think the dialogue could have been better. Some of it was just not needed. Like when it came to like, I think it was like Adam Smasher and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he was just saying like dumb stuff like, why is Mira using water on the Black Lanterns and shit like that? I was just like, cause nigga, that's the only shit she can do. You know, what else are you gonna do? The stuff between Hal and Barry worked sometimes, but other times it was just cheesy and stuff like that. I like the moments where Barry is trying to just get a grasp on like what is the current status of the world, like who's dead and who isn't and stuff like that. But when they're going back and forth about, like, yeah, I went through coming back to life, and you came back to life, and then I came back to life, and then you came back to life. It was just like, shut up. What else? The fact that Black Lantern Superman was just in the cut all that time, it wasn't rocking they shit, was kind of sus to me. It was just like, okay, so where has he been? When they're all together and Superman is still a Black Lantern, that was kind of sus to me, because I think, like, all attention would be on him, because, you know,
Superman.
That's Superman. But that's it.
What's name was also, we forgot to mention, what's the name was also became a Black Lantern tutor, Connor Kent.
Oh yeah, Connor Kent. Yeah, those two together, like,
yeah, it's like literally that's like top tier power right there. Like, you sit there, like, number one, you're fighting the bad guy and you're losing with them, and the bad guy gets them. That should have been that, but I guarantee the reason why they did that, because they didn't want to make it look, it's already hopeless enough. So let's just have it right there for them, like a little bit. They do like 1-2 punch, and after that, all right, they're back to being on our side again and everything. That's the reason why you had, like, oh, the whole White Lantern thing happened, like, so quickly. But yeah. only thing I change is, like you said, mostly the dialogues for some of it. Some of it was, like, unnecessary and everything. I mean, I understand some of it, like, the main thing, they didn't really have that big of a representation of, like, the Bat Family in this, I felt, really.
Yeah, we don't see Robin at all. We don't see Dick Grayson.
Like, because right now we're having, like, because during that event, no, like, either during or, like, right before the event, we're having the battle for the cow happen in Gotham and everything. Because, like, I remember we see, like, only person we see from the Bat Family is, like, we see Oracle, we see Commissioner James Gordon and everything. They're talking on the roof, and that Hal Jordan comes crashing down, and that's it. But, like, my main thing is, we still have Tim around. We still have Nightwing. We still have Jason. And we still have Damian and everything. Like, I know Battle for the Cow is happening right now, but this is still like a world event and everything. So you got to have that. But that's my only thing I would say changing. How about you, Jess?
I mean, it was an overall good story. I'm probably going to agree with you on this. It's most likely dialogue. It got a little corny here and there, and usually I can appreciate, like, little corny dialogue, whether it's, like, old or new, just because, like, I chuckle a bit at it. But it was like, I was like, you know, some of this really doesn't even have to be here. So that would be my only flaw. Other than that, it was all around good to me.
I'm trying to think. What else have we not covered yet? I think. What did you guys think of, like, Necron as a villain and his purpose? I thought he was very
generic.
There's one part of him that is just very cut and dry bad guy and stuff like that. But I could see where he's coming from a little bit. I can see the justification behind him wanting to do that. But the logic is, like, okay, if there's no peace in the world, I mean, if there's no life in the world, there has to be no evil in the world, I guess, essentially. So the logic was there. And I guess if he is like a representation of all darkness and nothingness, he would want that to happen. And I thought it was cool how Johns basically said he was spited. You know, we're all invaders. You know, life encroached upon the darkness. So, of course, he would be mad. How did you guys think about that?
As a villain, he was cool. I kind of got that, you know, that same vibe, like he has his points of why he's doing this, and it is logical, and this is why I'm doing this, but it's just like you're going about it the wrong way, kind of. So that's how I kind of felt about it, though, you know. So, you know, it's like pain, and how, like, oh, you know, you'll never understand my pain until, like, you know, y'all know pain. So let's just, like, go my way. but some people just go too dark with it when there's a whole different, like, there's a whole nother option you can take. So as a villain, somewhat kind of, he was understandable, but no. He was a good villain, though. He was a good villain, but, you know, his logic was just like, okay.
I mean, he was all right. He felt to me like a generic, another, like, big bad. Like, he did, I do see, like, what you talk about is the point. Like, his main argument was, like, too many of y'all niggas keep coming back from the dead all the damn time. Mm-hmm. And that stuff never sticks with y'all. And it need, like, what's saying for the universe to keep the natural flow, we need some of y'all to stay dead while life can keep coming here, but, like, this is, like, the way it's supposed to be, the yin and yang, but literally all the time, like, regardless of universe, they're going to come back as far as it might be another version of them from another universe, but the main universe person always comes back eventually some years later or whatever, then we're back to the status quo. And that's, like, I feel like that was part of his argument. And also, like Marcus said, like, it's always, like, I'm going, they technically reference the Bible, but, like, in the beginning there was nothing but darkness. And that's where he was. This darkness is kicking it, cooling. I don't know where you have let there be light. And then now we're sitting here. I had to struggle with light. And then light itself diffracts, which is how you get all the different elements, which is green, yellow, blue, pink, red, indigo. And then after that, I had to deal with the diffraction of all those lights. And that I'm losing more of my thing. So I needed to come back. But yeah, I mean, it's not the last time we see Necron, but yeah.
Okay. So, if this is your first time listening to the show, we use the Naruto mission ranking system. So, we start at S, which is the highest rank, and go down to D, which is the lowest rank. I'm going to give this an S-. I think it was excellently crafted, the plot-wise. The emotional beats work, and it really depicted this superhero community as, like, a community with a wealth of history and connections and past traumas and past loves. And it made everyone feel like a real person. Like if this was a world of superheroes and they were trying to grapple with this kind of dilemma, they would behave in this type of way. And I also want to give Geoff Johns props for just really writing this long epic in this way. You know, that at this time he had probably like 6 volumes out or whatever, you know, been going on Green Lantern for years, I think since 2007, and he really landed the mark on the event that he teased to us in the beginning of his Green Lantern run. So I really appreciated it.
I'm going to give this A. This was a really good story. Awesome story, truly. Down from the just the characters and like all the nice illustration of it. I give it an A just because, like, you know, I've seen, like, villains bring back people from the dead all the time. So, you know, it, that's kind of done before. So, yeah, I'll give it an A.
I'll give it an S. Still one of my favorite Green Lantern stories and everything. It's great. It's impactful and sets up for future stuff and everything. Yeah, just a great story. All that, and as far as like you bring a bunch of characters that we had, like we see a bunch of pivotal characters come back. As far as you see Aquaman come back, you see Green Lantern, what's name, Martian Manhunter come back. You see all these other people that who were dead at this time being coming back. But like, I mean, the main thing in superhero storylines, the main guy never stays dead for long. So yeah, but I mean, it's good to you have the storytelling behind it is good instead of just saying, well, reboot happened, so and so is back. That's it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a good way to bring everybody back. I do agree with that. So that wraps up the end of the show. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of The Blurs. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, Instagram at The Blurs Word, and on our Facebook page called The Blurs. Don't forget to subscribe to us at The Blurs on YouTube and like our videos. Also, feel free to leave us a 5-star review and a positive comment on your favorite podcast aggregator. And see y'all next time.
Peace.
Peace out, y'all.